Hey everyone, my name is Jules, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text The River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support The River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you were blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Pastor Roy, thankful for him. Went up to men's retreat yesterday and the day before, and just got a bunch of men up there. Just a wonderful, wonderful time hearing the word and guys growing in friendship, and just a wonderful thing. A couple of them went to the Asabo River and went canoeing. I don't know if you noticed, it was like 43 degrees yesterday. Crazy. And then one of them flipped over. So I was like, well, that's what happens. One of our deacons. So it's good. That's great. John Buglioni. Way to go, John. But welcome to the River Church. If you have your Bible, we'll be in Psalm chapter 25. Psalm 25. If you are new with us, my name is Jason Combs. I have the privilege of being the location pastor here. And we are studying the book of Psalms this summer, walking through, there's 150 chapters, and so we are studying that all summer. I hope you'll join us. Psalms is different. It's not a narrative. It's poetry, poetic literature. It's written over some 1,000 years of different authors. And so we study it and ponder it. It's not something to just read through and be like, oh, I got the story. This is something to read over and over again and to see the truth of who God is, how he's called us to pray and to worship him. So Psalm 25, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. The Bible says this, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord." Or if you grew up, I memorized this in the King James Version. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Maybe the most asked question, and people come and meet with me or meet in my office. Maybe the most asked question is this the will of God for me? Is this the path I should take? Is this the direction I should go? Is the Lord okay if I do this? Is it okay if I go this way, do this thing? Is this the will of the Lord? And many times, or sometimes we'll even say, Lord, if you'll just show me a sign. And sometimes I'll have people come to me and say, this morning I got up and the Lord showed me this sign. And sometimes I just want to say, I think that was from the burrito you ate last night. Sometimes they don't, the signs don't match up. Do I think the Lord shows us signs sometimes? Sure. But in following God's will here, David is desperate. So David, King David, and as you read this psalm, many think that this was written toward the end of David's life, not in the beginning, not during the time of the Goliath or the shepherding, but as he's king, as he has family. Some think it probably or fit it in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. Where David's son has turned against him, it's a heart-wrenching couple chapters. And as you read Psalm 25, you see, as one commentary put it, that David is in need of deliverance, he's in need of direction, he's in need of forgiveness and encouragement. He is overwhelmed by his circumstances and the feeling. You're overwhelmed by circumstances and feeling and the weight of the moment. As you read this, you hear David just crying out, Lord, what should I do? How do I handle this? What am I supposed to do and not supposed to do? What is the path? What is the plan? What is your will? In our time, you can almost see him singing, Jesus, take the wheel. Like, drive the car where it should go. But how do we let Jesus take the wheel? How do we know what God's plan is? How do we know what his will is? I love what one man said. Said, in reading this chapter, we get a great picture of what it looks like to let the Lord lead us. As you read through this, Lord, teach me your paths, your ways, your truth. We get this picture on what it looks like. And this morning, I just want you to ponder, what does it look like to walk in the path of the Lord? And I'm going to challenge you. I just want you to think about more than looking for a sign to go, Lord, is this the right? Show me a sign. I want you to be able to see the style of the path. See, as I read this, and David talks about following the Lord and being in the path of the Lord, there's a style, there's a way that it looks, that you're going to walk down the path of the Lord and the will of the Lord, and you're going to see some things and go like, yeah, this is confirming the will of the Lord. This looks like the way of the Lord. Maybe to help illustrate this, I think of this famous movie line, and everybody maybe over like 16 will know this movie line. But it's this: I have a feeling that we're not in Kansas anymore. With me? All right, raise your hand if you have no clue what that's from. Go ahead. Come on, young people, let's go. No clue. I have a feeling. Reese, come on. What's going on here? All right. So from The Wizard of Oz, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. Toto, if I said that, would that help? In The Wizard of Oz, starting out in Kansas and then going over the rainbow in a place that looks completely different. Right? Why? Because Kansas has a style, what it looks like in the farm fields. This is no longer that style. When I moved as a freshman in high school from Waterford up to the Thumb of Michigan, the style, the scenery, it changed. It looked different. Pigeon, Michigan looks different than Waterford. The farm fields and the beans and the sugar beets, it looks different. And the cows. Now, I know some of you are trying to move that into Waterford. It isn't going to work, right? There's too many buildings, too many cars, too many people. Up in Pigeon, what the style was, there wasn't a lot of people, right? There are the fields, and the towns are small, and to get to the mall took an hour drive, and that just blew my mind. It's different. Took a student up there one time, took a bunch of students up there one time, and I remember we got to the Thumb, and we're at my dad's church, and he got out of the car and was walking in the parking lot, and I'll never forget, he's walking along, and he starts doing this. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I think I stepped in dog stuff. And I said, no, you didn't. It's just what it smells like up here. It's just the normal smell. And he was like, oh, it's just the style, the smell, what it looks like. When we think about walking in the path of God, walking in his truth, walking in his ways, I want you to see there's a style, that there are things that you're going to see. There are things that are going to go, yep, that's what the path of the Lord looks like. As we study Psalms 25, I want you to see the style. I want you to be able to walk in the ways of the Lord and be like, yeah, this is what it looks like. And then to identify in your life, if you start to veer off of that path, you'll start to see things to be like, wait, I'm missing some things. When I walk in the path of the Lord, this isn't looking, this looks different. There are things that are not similar. And I think in Psalms 25, this is a big part of what David is teaching us. He's desperate. He needs help. He doesn't know what to do. God, help me to walk in your path. And he shows us what that looks like to let the Lord lead. So I want to pray and let's dive in. Lord, I just pray for your help. Lead my words. Lord, I'm so grateful for your truth, the Holy Spirit who speaks to our heart. Lord, may we listen to your truth. May it be personal to each one of us today. So we pray for your blessing, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as the 25th Psalm starts out, David says, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They that shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. He says, make me to know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. You, I wait on you. I trust in you. And then it points to what this looks like. I will tell you as you read and study this, these verses, these chapters, don't get by them quickly. Don't read your chapter and give yourself a check mark for the day. I read my chapter, the Lord's going to be happy with me. Read it again. Listen for things. What are things that stick out? What are things that you just heard a couple verses ago and then you hear it again? Why would the Holy Spirit give that to us twice? Or to hear, I mean, this word keeps popping up over and over again. Why? And sit there and read it and then read it again and then read it again and sit and go, Lord, help me to see what your truth is here. Reveal to me who you are and what you have, maybe how you should pray. Here, David says, show me your ways, O Lord. And so what does the style, what does the way of the Lord look like? Let's look at the next couple of verses that I think reveals the style, reveals this way. Verse 6, remember, and just to stop you, listen and look and see how many times the word your shows up here in these next few verses. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. And then it says this, therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. Over and over again, it's going to come back to this thought of the Lord leading us down a path, the Lord instructing us, the Lord. But it talks of this style. David says, Lord, show me your ways. And what does David do? David then goes and rests on who the Almighty God is. How does the Almighty God act? What are the characters? What are the attributes of the Lord? And David comes and says, Lord, I'm a mess and I'm scared, but here's something that I can trust in. Here's something that I know. I know your mercy. I know your steadfast love. I know your goodness. I know that you are good and upright. And so in thinking of the style of the path of God, I just want to give you this thought. God's ways are found in God's character. Who God is, as you walk the path of the Lord, are you walking this path in who God is? See, what can happen is, if we start to, or if we don't know who God is, if we miss who God is, we can start walking down a path of going, yep, I'm following God. But if it's not God, that means we're following the wrong path. And so what does the style of the path of the Lord like? It looks like the Lord. It's his truth. So some people, what they will do, they will take some things about the Lord. They'll take things like, well, God is love. And so since God loves me, he'll let me live any lifestyle I want to live. Since God is love, I can walk any path that I want to because God loves me. But what has happened is you have missed the complete character of who God is. Yes, God is love, but God is truth. God is righteous. God is just. God hates sin. So as you grow in knowing who God is, it helps you to know if you're walking along the path that is the Lord's. It's walking with him and knowing him. Reminds me, I think this has happened to most of us who have had young children, that time where you were in a group, maybe a church, or you were in a group at amusement park or grocery store, and your child, or maybe you were standing there and all of a sudden a little child comes up and wraps their arms around you. And you look down and go, that's not mine. Right? You're in this crowd and the child has got lost. And so they're like, Dad, got you, Dad. And then the most terrifying thing happens in their world. They look up and all of a sudden realize you could have a Batman mask on and it wouldn't be as scary as them looking up and going, you're not my father. Right? That terror, that then they just turn and be like, I've grabbed onto the wrong thing. What I thought my security is, who I thought I was following, I was wrong. I missed it. When we think about walking with the Lord, we have to be clear on knowing who the Father is. That's why this summer we challenge you as a church, you're a part of this, wherever you're at in reading the Bible, to push yourself to read and to study and to see who is the Almighty God. Right? Satan's desire is to trick you on who God is and what God says. And so we must diligently seek the Lord and who he is. And so we come to this place of God's ways are found in God's characters. So in walking the path, it's looking to go, man, does this look like who the Lord is? It doesn't mean it's always easy, because sometimes we walk into difficult things. I think some people get confused and life gets difficult and paths are hard and we go, well, then God doesn't want me on this path. But we see throughout the Bible, God, right? Sometimes there's the valley of the shadow of death. God didn't leave. God's still there. And sometimes things are difficult. But this first style, I just want you to consider and to think about. In walking in God's plan, walking in God's will, God's ways are found in God's character. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 7. It says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Then skip down to verse 11. It says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And then verse 18, consider my affliction and trouble and forgive all my sins. And walking in the path of the Lord, there's the style of confession. That we, those who know Christ as their Savior, we will continually seek to see if there's something in our lives that we need to repent of. If there's something in our lives that we need to confess. Hidden sin's going to take you down the wrong path. Hidden sin's going to take you away from the will of the Lord. So as we read this, Lord, make your ways known to me. You see David showing us these ways. What does it look like? A place of forgiveness. There's this confession. David says, Lord, forgive me of the sins of my youth. Why? Because so many times it's easy for us to remember what we did long ago. And we can rest and know who God is. We run back to God who forgives. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. What does it look like in the path of the Lord? Believers will constantly be seeking to see if there is sin in their lives, and we will be confessing sin. We will be repenting of sin. That's the path of the Lord. If you're concealing sin, you're going to miss the path. Concealing sin is ugly. It gets messy real quick. Years ago when I took some students down to New Orleans, there was Katrina, the hurricane, and we went about a year and a half after that and took a bunch of students, some 20 students down there. And a year and a half later, I was blown away how there were still so many homes that hadn't been touched for a year and a half. We'd walk into a home and on the wall there'd be a calendar and it would be of the date of Katrina. Like that would be the month, that would be up a year and a half. Nobody had been, you know, taking care of the house, done anything in that house, and we would walk in and try to clean out the house and you know, no electricity, no nothing. And I just remember one of my students going in there and going, hey, wonder what's in the refrigerator. Concealed sin. That's what was in the refrigerator that they opened up and then we all left. But just to see the picture, David says, Lord, things are difficult. I want to walk in your ways. To walk in your ways is walking after the character of the Lord and is confessing sin. It's having a heart of repentance that isn't a once in a while thing, that is a all the time thing. Lord, is there something I need to repent of? Is there something in the way? Let's keep reading verse 9. The Bible says, he leads. So here again, we see this picture of him leading, him teaching. He leads who? The humble in what is right. And teaches who? The humble his ways. We see the style. Lord, I want to follow you. What does that look like? His character and confession here. We see people who are willing to humble themselves before the Lord. One said, pride stands in the way of instruction. Humility makes a person open to listening to God. Proverbs 29:23, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Another person said, the humble are those who continually seek his mercy, his forgiveness, and his instruction. David gives us this example of when things are difficult, where do you run to? What do you do? When everything explodes, what happens? David runs to the Lord, who he is, who he trusts. He runs to God, the God of his salvation. But you'll see this humility. Pride will stop us from the path, from humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, I don't always think your way's better. Sometimes I think my way's better. But I know who you are. And I trust you and I follow you. To be honest, listen, in your Christian walk, it's really good to be honest with where your heart's at. You're not tricking the Lord, first off. He knows. But is there a place of repentance that you need to have in your heart because you sit in a place to go, my ways are better than the Lord's ways? See, the style, the character of the Lord, the style of confession, the style of humility. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. What does the path look like? How do I know? Am I following the Lord? Is this your will? There's a style of obedience. To seek what the Lord has, to seek his truth, to go, Lord, what do you, how should I live? Not just in the big things, but the little things. This shows if we really want the path of the Lord or not. I think sometimes it's a show. Lord, I want to make sure this is the right path. And I think that if we're honest, the truthful question is, Lord, I just want to make sure I can do what I want to do. Lord, I want to make sure that I can go and make sure I got to find one scripture out there that's going to go, okay, I'm okay. But our relationship with the Lord and walking with the Lord, what it looks like or what it should look like is to going, Lord, we trust you. What is your path and your way? So it looks like obedience. Verse 11. The Bible says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offering shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Do you see that instruction there? Do you see the style? It was those who fear the Lord. Now, I think this, one guy brought up a point I think is really fascinating. He looked at verse 11 that talked about forgiveness. And he said, but forgiveness, however, in the end, is not an end in itself. Forgiveness and guidance are expressions of God's love and goodness in his own. Assurance of forgiveness develops into responsiveness. The fear of the Lord is an inner responsiveness and willingness to learn of the Lord. And I love that because we need to understand following the Lord. Some people just put, I got saved and I repented of my sin. The Lord forgive me. I'm good to go. I got my ticket. But following the Lord, right, is not a ticket. It's a train ride. Following the Lord is not just receiving forgiveness. You'll see the path of the Lord, the way of the Lord. That forgiveness then leads us to respond to the Lord. And here it says this fear. One defined to fear God is to recognize that one is not the center of the universe. The fear of God gives proper humility in a person that makes them teachable. The fear is not an emotion that makes one run away, but rather this awe and reverence leads us to persist in God's awesome presence and to listen to his instruction. To fear the Lord. Verse 14 is so amazing. It says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Now, this word friendship, it's some are translated a little differently, but this word means the Lord confides, or the secret of Yahweh, or this intimate conversation, this intimate relationship, to hear the secrets of the Lord. And what is pointing to? It's to have a relationship, a friendship with God. As I was reading this week, I thought last week I asked the question, is the Lord your shepherd? This week, I just think about, is the Lord your friend? To grow and to know him personally and his personal love and care for you. But also seeing God as a friend, but as God, as the Almighty God who we bow down to. So this morning, just a challenge to not look for God's will in a sign, which is fine, the Lord shows thing. But as a Christian, as we walk the path of the Lord, to seek the will of the Lord and to see, are these things a part of my path? Are these things, right? Does this path look like the character? You see the character of God growing on the wall. You'll have steps of confession. You'll have flowers of humility. You'll have benches of obedience. You'll have this fear and reverence toward God. Is that what the path looks like? Back at verse 4 and 5. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. You think David, when he penned that, he had everything all figured out? Or do you think that was his prayer to the Lord? Do you think that was for he was coming to the Lord saying, Lord, make your ways known. I get deceived and distracted. Lord, may I listen to your truth. Church, I tell you, this would be an amazing verse to memorize and to make a part of your prayer life. When you veer, Lord, help me to know your ways. Now, one last thing I want to show you, because I just think this is so clear. Verse 4, it talks about God's ways. It talks about God's truth. It talks about God's salvation. And we, now where we sit, see, we get to look back and to know that God sent his son Jesus. And Jesus, he came and he lived on this earth. And what did he say? Everyone, I want you to know I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm where you'll find salvation. And we look at this passage and we look at the path of the Lord and we see it is in Jesus Christ, God's Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is salvation. And I just want to challenge some of you. Some of you are trying to walk in the path of the Lord without Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let me tell you something. It's impossible. It's impossible without Christ. It's impossible without humbling ourselves, repenting of our sin, and believing in Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the way. He came to this earth and died on the cross because mankind was lost. He offers salvation to have all to be saved, to come to know him as Savior. And so to walk the path of the Lord, you can't walk it without Jesus. He's who gives us the strength. He's who changes our lives. It is in his strength. And so to walk the path is first by turning to Christ. It's Romans 10:9, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died on the cross and that he rose again, to receive him as Lord and Savior. Don't be confused. We don't try to walk the path the best that we can so that God goes, oh man, you did a good job with the path. No, Jesus saves us. He is the gate. He is with us. He is our salvation. And because he has saved us, we now live a life that strives to serve and to follow and to worship him. Maybe this morning you know the Lord, but if you're honest with yourself, you've veered off the path. You veered off of God's character, of humbling yourself, of confessing sin, of obedience. What is so wonderful to know is run back to who God is. The Savior who forgives, who gives life. Run back to a place of asking for forgiveness and know the promise of the Lord. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This morning, we're going to close the gathering by taking communion, setting our eyes on the way, the truth, and the life. Setting our eyes on Christ. When Christ was here on earth, the night before he went to the cross, he sat with the disciples and really gave the church instruction. Call it the Lord's Supper. The night before, Jesus sat and he took piece of bread, and he said, this bread, it's a symbol, it represents my body. I want you to gather with the church and take this and remember. Remember what I did. And there's a cup. This juice, I want you to know it represents the blood that was shed. You see, we take communion to run back to the cross to remember what Jesus did for us, that his body was broken and that his blood was shed. So this morning, I want to encourage you, if you know the Lord, have a time of running back to the cross, remembering what Christ did. The Bible does warn us to not take communion flippantly. The Bible warns us, says, take some time first to examine yourself. Maybe there's something you need to confess, a sin. So I encourage you to do that before you to take, seek the Lord. If there's something you need to repent of, repent. If you've never accepted Christ, can I tell you, you can do that right in your seat. It doesn't take a special ceremony. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. To ask Jesus, forgive me of my sins, save me and be Lord of my life. And if you come to know Christ, then you may take communion. So I'm going to ask the band to come. They're going to lead us in a song. Listen, this isn't a time where we tell you to sit up or to stand up or sit down. We want you to have a time of worship. So maybe you need, when you get that cup, to sit in your seat and have a time of prayer. Do that. Maybe you get that cup and you want to stand up and sing at the top of your lungs and praise you. Do that. To worship him. And as they lead us in worship, at any time during that song, you take communion, remembering the body and the blood. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. Lord God, thank you for the path. We praise you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.